When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Buzz. Welcome into a slightly chilly edition of At the Buzzer, your Colorado Athletics podcast, discussing everything you need to know about CU Athletics. And just for SEO purposes, I'm going to say Coach Prime at the start of this podcast. We are of the Ralphie Report, as usual. I am one co-host, Jack. Hello, as usual.
Hello.
On the other side is the other co-host. Finally, stateside, not recording from a time zone disadvantage. We have Sam. Hello, Sam.
Yes, time zone, and I am still in school, and I have final exams these days, and mm-hmm. I was traveling back home. So it was kind of a busy time. So I'm glad to be back after a little informal hiatus.
It was a busy time to have a busy time, man. You might have seen the last 13 days. Shit has happened for the Colorado Buffaloes in a pretty big way. So we'll be talking about some of that on the football side, obviously. I'm going to give you a recruiting update as I can. We're going to continue to talk about the basket buffs as they march through the soft underbelly of their non-conference schedule here. And of course, we both watched CU's next starting quarterback at the Celebration Bowl, as I'm sure a lot of CU fans did. So we'll be talking about that a little bit as well. So a nice fun, I don't know, this is a nice little, I like the mix of topics we have on today's podcast. It's not all Coach Prime and it's not all basketball. It's kind of a mix. I like it.
Yeah. Good job, Jack.
Thanks. Let's start with the Celebration Bowl, I think. So that was on this past Saturday. That was on the 17th at 10 a.m. on ABC primetime, quite literally, as Deion Sanders was coaching Jackson State throughout the past 2 weeks of bowl prep for this game. And for reference, for those that don't know, the Celebration Bowl is not part of the FCS playoffs. It is a separate venture that removes both participants from FCS playoff contention. However, due to the money behind the Celebration Bowl, that's often a really good thing for both schools. So the number one team in the SWAC, which was Jackson State, Coach Deion Sanders' team, and the number one team in the MEAC, which is NC Central, often they will play each other in the Celebration Bowl, which is called that because of the celebration of HBCU football and culture and everything that we have come to know and love as CU fans. So that is why this is happening, and separate from the FCS playoffs you may have seen elsewhere on Saturday. But it's a really good thing for both programs. Over $1 million is guaranteed for each school, and obviously a bunch of exposure in Atlanta. So it was a pretty big deal, is what I'm trying to say. It was a pretty big deal of a game. And that's part of the reason why Coach Prime, after he was hired by CU, stayed behind to prep Jackson State for that game.
Yeah. Do you want to go right into the game?
We can. Absolutely. So Jackson State versus NC Central, and for reference, the MEAC conference dominates the SWAC generally in this bowl game. So just to keep that in mind as we talk about this, yeah, the MEAC generally has better resources and is a bigger conference. And I guess, you know what, let me just double check before I say anything else. We can keep talking about this particular game, but from what I recall, what I just said is correct. The reason a lot of CU fans are watching this game is obviously the coach that CU just hired is coaching, which is, you know, a big draw. For those that can remember this far back, I remember tuning in very deeply into the SEC championship game in 2019 after some rumors that Mel Tucker was going to be CU's next head coach sprouted up. I wanted to see how that Georgia defense operated. So this is a similar vibe on a much bigger scale. The other thing past Deion Sanders that CU fans are looking at is, of course, the quarterback, CU's quarterback next year, was also playing in this game.
Mm-hmm.
That happened to be Shador Sanders, Deion Sanders' son, who also was a pretty big-time recruit in high school before he followed his father to Jackson State. So I was in particular watching for Sanders to see how he looked. By Sanders, I mean Shador, to see how he looked, as well as any other potential players that may be coming to Boulder. We've heard the Travis Hunter rumors. We've heard the Kevin Coleman rumors. Just wanted to see, you know, what that quote-unquote Louis Vuitton luggage that Deion Sanders talked about actually looked like on the field. So once again, giant preamble to say, Sam, what did you see?
I saw someone who's going to be the most talented quarterback that we've had in a very long time. I mean, I saw Brian Howell said that, like, he has to be automatically the best starting quarterback since Montez, and he's probably going to be better depending of – hang on a second.
Okay.
The strengths of Shador. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. Yeah.
Okay. Obviously he's a mobile quarterback with, like, they run the read option, spread option, whatever you call it. And he looks very good in that. He looks quite comfortable escaping pressure. He can throw in the move. He throws mm-hmm. a really pretty ball. And like, we know that the Kent State offense we're bringing in is going to need him to do exactly what he's capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't really have anything negative to say from what I've seen. The only qualm is that I think, like, the productivity, we haven't seen it against the best competition. And the Brian Howell comment is that you have to see how he plays against Pac-12 defenses before you can say he's better than someone like Montez, who was talented in a similar way, but struggled sometimes against, like, processing.
I was laughing because you said the most – obviously the best CU quarterback since Montez, and I was thinking back. I'm like, okay, why is that? Oh, that's right. It was Neuer, who had more interceptions than touchdowns, but who had a bunch of heart. 2021 was Brendan Lewis in – not even his fault. Once again, Ralph Report official position is that we are still a Brendan Lewis podcast, and I hope he kills it at UConn under Jim Mora. But, you know, 2021, Brendan Lewis, not the best. And then 2022, we all watched that. So, yes, I hazard a guess to say that you or I could be a better upgrade depending on some of what we saw yesterday. Wow, last year. And yes, I think your point, the other point is a really good one about, like, the reads. So Jackson State kind of plays in a weird – I shouldn't say weird, but it's an air raid E offense. So a lot of split out wide, quick plays, quick reads. It's kind of like if you see your one guy's covered, then take off or throw it away. Mm-hmm. And the play caller for that offense, Brett Bartolone, is coming to Boulder as a wide receivers coach, not as a play caller. So
okay.
He will be there, and he is Shador's current quarterback's coach as well, but he will be there as a wide receivers coach. The reason he's a wide receivers coach is he played wide receiver for Mike Leach, RIP, at Washington State, a scant five years ago.
Damn.
So, So keep that in mind. What we're seeing next year is going to be different. They're going to run the ball more than Jackson State did on Saturday next year, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's also going to be different reads. However, I totally agree with you. I saw this a little bit in the conference championship as well, but Shador Sanders as a quarterback, I can't remember the last CU prospect at quarterback that looked as comfortable being quarterback. And I actually don't agree with you that Montez did that. I think Montez had a lot of physical gifts, and I liked watching him some of the time at least, if not most of the time. But I don't know if he was a natural reader, like, at quarterback, you know? I think he struggled with that at times. To me, Shador Sanders looks so much more natural in that progression piece, or just, like, being calm in the pocket. Oh, my God, how many throws did he have in that Celebration Bowl when NC Central came at them and he had people at his feet and he just stood, delivered, got hit, but he hit the ball. He put the ball on the receiver's body. And I'm like, I can't remember the last time I saw a CU quarterback do that with consistency. That was incredible.
I did mean that, I think there is a difference reading the game between FCS level and Pac-12 level.
Absolutely.
So, like, And I haven't watched enough Sanders to know whether or not he's.
He is also a true sophomore. We do want to point that out to people listening. So he is a true sophomore, still young, but continue.
Yeah, I mean, did you have any other thoughts on Sanders?
Oh, I have plenty of thoughts.
Oh, then keep going.
Like you said, I think he throws a beautiful ball. The throw he had to Kevin Coleman for the 85-yard touchdown. Obviously, Coleman was wide open, but it didn't matter because I was like on his body in perfect stride. And a great read. Like, that throw was incredible. And, you know, talking about the rest of the game, obviously Jackson State lost this one in overtime. It's not because of Shedeur Sanders, man. Like, that dude was the only engine they had on offense, and he was absolutely hitting dudes in tight windows that – those windows will exist in the Power 5 level too, man. Like, it's the FCS, of course, but he was putting it on guys when they had a dude draped on them. In a place that only they could catch it. And that stuff right there was really exciting to me. So I thought what I saw, that, you know, he ended up like 30 of 40, I think, for 400 yards. And
that fourth down every throw, touchdown. That fourth down throw he had to save basically the game. That was
across his body.
Yeah, that's a next level throw.
Exactly. You look at that and like you said, I think it takes him a second to give up on the play. I think he holds the ball for a long time, which he can get away with at that level. Can't get away with at every level. But I am okay with that being the main issue with the CU quarterback. Shedeur Sanders is not a dual threat like Brendan Lewis is. He can run, but it's never going to be his first option. But as long as that threat is there, that's all that really matters for Sean Lewis's offense. And from what I saw, the threat is there. For Shedeur Sanders. He's not super fast, and definitely NC Central's quarterback could run better. That dude was a tank. But, you know, he still moved the ball, and I liked his arm. I think he can spin it, and I think what Deion Sanders said about him is correct. He looks like a technician out there. He is reading. He is throwing the ball where the receiver should be, like, on time and on target, right? And that's the stuff that gets me excited.
Who else were you watching for?
So Travis Hunter is the other big name, of course, the number one player in the country in the 2022 recruiting class. He's been kind of injured all year, but he seemed healthy enough to play in this game pretty extensively on both sides of the ball. Kevin Coleman was a four-star last year as well, so I was watching for him. And finally, Shiloh Sanders, Deion's other son, who is the starting safety for Jackson State. He is also likely coming to Boulder so at safety, so I wanted to see what I saw from him. And he did not have the best game. So Shiloh got burned, actually, once or twice in the back. But whatever, you know, as part of the package, and you get Coach Prime, is you get his whole family too, which is good and bad. And I don't think Shiloh is a bad player necessarily. He had plenty of great offers out of high school, ended up signing with South Carolina, transferring to Jackson State. Will be transferring to CU likely as a grad transfer over the summer. But I am bearing the lead. I absolutely loved what I saw out of both Travis Hunter and Kevin Coleman at that Celebration Bowl. Holy God.
Woo! So we all know who Travis Hunter is, basically. Like, he's the number one recruit who eschewed Florida State for Jackson State, secured nice like word. A nice NIL deal.
Yes, supposedly from Barstool, although that's never been confirmed.
Okay. Who is the other guy?
Kevin Coleman, who picked Jackson State over offers from Florida and Miami.
Okay, thank you. And what position does he play, just so everyone knows?
He plays wide receiver and punt returner and kick returner.
Oh, he's the guy who scored that 40-something yard bomb.
He's the guy that scored the 85-yard touchdown.
The 85-yard touchdown. Damn. Yes. Okay. He is very fast. I know he caught it. He caught it. And I thought, oh, I think he's going to catch that. And he was gone. Nope.
Yeah. And then he just turned on the burners when he wanted to. You also had plenty of really good punt returns and kick returns, which I appreciated. And it's had some nice contested catches. Coleman is an absolute speed freak. And Travis Hunter showed everything I wanted to see from Travis Hunter. Like, holy crap. Two touchdowns in this game. The thing about Travis Hunter is he plays both ways. So he was a starting cornerback and generally did his job. I think he got burned once that I remember, but generally did his job. He was also a wide receiver they brought in on certain plays. He caught two touchdowns on those plays, including the game tying touchdown that we have not talked about yet, a beautiful lob from Shedeur Sanders right to the spot on the side of the end zone that they needed to. Travis Hunter runs under it, gets some hand fighting so he gets position, gets both feet in and the catch secured with no time left to take the game into overtime. The guy is just an absolute freak athlete, and it pops every single time he moves out there. It's incredible. If he does in fact come to Colorado, that will be very fun to watch on both sides of the ball. And he has the goods to play on both sides of the ball.
I mean, that play speaks to his ball skills, and just like pure athleticism. Like,
and his other touchdown too. I don't know if you saw that, but it was a nice post route, and both the safety and the corner were looking at him, and he went out, faked out, both just dove.
Yeah. No, he dusted them.
Yeah, and then whoop, just went right in between, no problem. Easy throw, easy catch, incredible route. Yeah, he is a freak, man. Oh my God.
Woo! Yeah, no, I'm impressed. I mean, obviously, he's one of the most talented players in college football. I don't even know what else to say. Like, if CU gets him, he's literally the best recruit they will ever have got.
Well, there cannot be higher. He is one of very few recruits also in the 247 level as a high schooler to get a 99 perfect rating. so he is that level. And yeah, so to confirm my other earlier thought, the Celebration Bowl is 7 years old. The MEAC has won 6 of those 7, with the one SWAC win being in 2016. Grambling State beat NC Central by 1. Tariq Cohen, recent Celebration Bowl MVP in 2015. Oh, so there you go.
Yeah, okay.
North Carolina A&T. So, yeah, anyways, MEAC normally dominates it, and they ended up winning in overtime after Shedeur Sanders, beautiful play call in overtime, has a chance to tie it with his touchdown, and the receiver dropped the ball on third and goal. He was walking in, and he drops the ball to end it. And fourth and goal, had to throw it away. Game ends. That guy is crying in the locker room. Coach Prime has to go console him. And then right after he consoles him, he hops on the private jet and lands in Boulder as the official full-time coach now, the Colorado Buffaloes, in charge of the biggest recruiting weekend that I can remember in a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, I met a couple of those recruits on campus, just being on campus. They're just around. And I know we landed one today, right? We landed
baby. We have averaged a recruit an hour today. Well, no. We're at like recruit every 2 hours, but yeah.
Do you want to walk through some of those guys?
Yeah.
I don't know who any of these guys are. So I'm just going to pretend like I know.
Well, so let's finish that Celebration Bowl thread with some of the Jackson State guys that have officially entered the portal. Shiloh and Shedeur have both entered the portal as the Sanders sons, and it's no mistake where those are going. Kevin Coleman, as of 5 minutes ago, officially entered the transfer portal. So I am expecting Kevin Coleman to follow Dion to Boulder. Travis Hunter entered the transfer portal as of last night. Also, as of last night, Travis Hunter is in Colorado with Shedeur Sanders this weekend. National pundits have said that Travis Hunter will be a battle between the current schools are supposedly Georgia, Colorado, USC, and Miami. So, you know, different level of battle than CU's used to. And Travis Hunter put out a YouTube video that made it seem like it is not a sure thing that he's coming to Boulder. I don't know if I ever expected it to be a sure thing. I definitely think that obviously CU has an inside edge here, with Coach Prime being his mentor, a lot of his friends from Jackson State also joining him in Boulder. But it's going to be tough. Those are three really, really hard programs to recruit against, especially in the NIL world. Miami will throw gobs and gobs and gobs of money at them. So, like, that's going to be hard, man. But just keeping in mind that those have entered the portal. Other Jackson State players to watch that have entered the portal. Offensive lineman Willis Patrick, left tackle, will absolutely be joining Prime in Boulder as well. That was number 71 for those watching the Celebration Bowl. Pretty big name. There are a few other linemen and linebackers that have entered the portal as well. I don't know how many of those I'm expecting to join Prime. There is one more defensive back I am expecting in Boulder next year. His name, he has three names, which is why I'm looking up to make sure I get all three names correct. Oh my God, this is embarrassing. Boy, howdy. He is a transfer, though. Cameron Stillman Craig. There we go. And he has over 110 tackles in 2 years at Jackson State. So pretty prolific as a safety. He's the guy that got stiff-armed in the dirt by that NC Central running back in overtime, if you remember that. Yes. Collier is a beast. People have heard Coach Prime mention that he said he's got about 10 dogs on the way, and they're going to hunt and they're going to eat. I would expect about 10 players from Jackson State to come to Boulder, and I hope one of them is Travis Hunter. So there's the bridge, Sam, into recruiting.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Also on campus this weekend, and we're not going to go through everything, but for those of you who want the full deal, please go sign up for 247 Sports with Adam Munstertiger. He does literally the best work in the 247 Sports Network. You cannot find a more professional reporter, and he has the lowdown on everyone that came through. Some of the people that came through that publicized it that I would keep an eye on. Malachi Coleman is a name that people should be very excited about if he ends up signing at CU. He is a top 70 player nationally, a four-star, a number three athlete in the country. His athlete designation is interesting. You don't see this very often. He is either a wide receiver or a defensive end. So Julius Peppers style.
Yeah, I was thinking Julius Peppers.
he runs a 10.4 100 meter dash at 6.5 220.
Oh my god!
And he's from Omaha, Nebraska. He happened to be committed to Nebraska until about 2 weeks ago. So if you want extra reason to pay attention to him, there it is. It is currently a battle between CU and Nebraska for his signature. Just like the old days, baby. We're bringing it back. So keep an eye on him. He is an absolute freak on a leash.
Doesn't have better offers?
He does have better offers, but I don't know if you realize this. Well, I shouldn't say better offers. He was originally supposed to go to Michigan this weekend, but the power of Coach Prime is such that he changed his visit from Michigan to Colorado. Yeah, so he's serious. He's got some serious work going. Another guy to keep in mind that was in campus and publicized it this weekend is a guy named Vakari Swain, who's another two-way athlete from Georgia, currently committed to South Carolina. He is a four-star, and he's a total burner no matter what side of the ball he plays on. He was in Boulder as well, and he is on flip watch. If CU can end up pulling that out, Vakari Swain will play early and often. Total speed demon. Great athlete. Another guy to look at. Somehow, CU is looking at taking two prep quarterbacks this cycle, as well as Shador Sanders. So they kept Ryan Staub on board from California. They are also looking at Kaysen Wiseman, who is a current Kansas commit. He came out and visited this weekend as well. Kansas people seem to think that is a CU Kansas battle. I'll take any Lance Leipold quarterback. They seem to be doing pretty well, no matter what they do. So happy for that, and happy to have three quarterback recruits on board this cycle, if possible. And like I said, there's a plenty of other dudes that came and visited, and many of them have already committed. In my personal opinion, one that committed today that I'm most excited about is a guy named Savion Washington, who is a 6'9", 330 right tackle from Kent State. He's a transfer from Kent State. The reason that matters is CU's offensive coordinator was Kent State's former head coach, and CU's offensive line coach was Kent State's former offensive line coach. So if you want to make sure you hit the ground running next year with your offense installed, grabbing an anchor like Savion Washington, who had plenty of other Power 5 offers in the transfer portal, by the way, and graded out better than every CU offensive lineman in Pro Football Focus, by the way. Grabbing a guy like that who knows the system, knows the speed, knows the coaches is huge. So of the current commits, that's my favorite one, and that's a big one.
Can you go over the ones who you assume will be like instant starters of the transfers?
Yeah, so Vontae Bentley will absolutely be a starter at inside linebacker. That's a guy from Clemson who's played 400 career snaps at Clemson, which means he's not starting, but, you know, he's playing. A senior grad transfer with 2 years of eligibility thanks to COVID. He was also an all-ACC honor roll selection at least 2 years out of his four, so he's absolutely coming to play school. A huge thumper. He's 6 foot, he can fly, and he's going to put you in the dirt. And he played for Clemson. Like I said, it's not like he's nobody. So actually, what's interesting is Brian Howe put out a tweet that, you know, didn't want to put any undue pressure on Vontae Bentley, but he totally put undue pressure on Vontae Bentley. Nate Landman's 2021 season at Colorado. It consisted of 400 snaps, 71 tackles, 6 tackles for loss, and 0 sacks. Vontae Bentley's career at Clemson consists of 417 snaps, 73 tackles, 12 tackles for loss, and 6 sacks. So he's basically just saying he's better than senior year Nate Landman. No big deal. That's obviously not true, but Vontae Bentley is an instant impact starter. Savion Washington, instant impact starter. Taj Alston from West Virginia at defensive end will play all over the defensive line. And when he's healthy, he disrupts in the backfield. That's another guy that you will see early and often next year. I don't know. Some of the other guys that committed, Jacob Page also committed. He's a burner prep wide receiver from Tennessee. I'm not expecting too much from him next year, but his speed is incredible. I don't know. A lot of transfers came in. We'll see how many commit after, you know, now that it's the dead period. But I hope the rest of them do. And all of them will be instant starters. Absolutely.
You said what? All of them will be instant starters?
All of them will be. There is not a single person that was on campus this weekend that will not play next year. I'm pretty positive. Yeah. I guess quarterbacks. I guess Case and Wiseman won't. But
does that – I mean, I assume that speaks kind of more to how bad we were.
It does. Okay. It does.
I just wanted to make sure.
They aren't – some of them might be Jags. Like, Taj Alston might be the definition of Jag, right, where he played some at West Virginia. He'll play some at CU, and maybe it's replaceable, maybe it's not. But you'll take that. You'll take that over anything that CU, the 130th-ranked defense in the country out of 130 teams did, right? So – I don't know. It was a big weekend, and this Wednesday you'll see the fruits of a lot of those labors. As usual, Ralphie Report will be up and at them early on signing day, giving you everything you need to know about the prep recruiting class that Coach Prime is signing. But just know it's currently ranked around 55th, and that is going to continue to climb fast if the people that are crystal ball to see you actually end up coming to see you.
That's great. I mean, I know you guys already covered it on the Dion to CU pod, but I mean, it's just amazing how everything changes just immediately.
He is. I mean, of course, he's a massive, a huge shot in the arm in every single way. And the biggest, most important, best way is on the recruiting trail. So he has been CU's full-time head coach for literally one day on Sunday. And here we are on Monday and CU's gotten about 5 commits, you know, it's like that. So expect even more craziness this week, expect craziness on Wednesday. When maybe some kids flip on Wednesday, we'll see. But you know, expect him to really hit the ground running. And one thing for you that you might like, see, you've got the number one player in England, baby. The number one linebacker.
I saw that.
Yes, Kofi Taylor Barracks. Let's go. We're international now.
How good is the number one player in Europe?
I don't know about all of Europe, probably okay. Kofi Taylor Barracks has some legit offers, Penn State, Michigan State as 2 of them by example, but he's committed to Jackson State already. He is a Coach Prime guy, and there's going to be Coach Prime guys in this class. Jordan Hall is one of them. He's been committed since like the day he was hired. So he's a crazy athlete who needs to learn how to play football. That's pretty much all it is.
That's what I was thinking, that like, if a linebacker is kind of coming from England, I don't necessarily trust his football IQ.
You shouldn't, but he's 6'3", 230, and likes to hit people. So,
we'll take that.
Yeah, it'll take a while, but he's good.
Okay. And, I mean, it's not like we've not had success stories in the past with Davion Taylor and whatnot. But, yeah.
Yeah, so please, once again, if you want all the lowdown on Dirty, follow Adam. Follow us on Wednesday as well as everything else, because it should be a pretty big day for CU on Wednesday.
Will this go up by then? Hopefully.
Yes.
Hopefully.
All right. Well, we've sped through all the boring stuff. Now let's talk about what actually matters. CU's KenPom ranking.
All right. What are we at now?
I should be in the high 40s. We were around 50 when I checked on Sunday. And I know in the net we are still in a pretty good spot in like the mid 30s, but all right. We're talking about this because CU just had a game yesterday against the mighty Golden Bears of the University of Northern Colorado.
They're not the Golden Bears, my dude.
Are they just the Bears?
They're just the Bears.
Okay, CU, by the way, is at 53, so there you go. On KenPom.
They beat UNC, and then they beat North Alabama before that, and then Colorado State before that.
By 30.
Annihilated Colorado State, yeah.
Yep, so and I was in fact at that game.
Oh, so North Alabama was the first back-to-back win CU has had this year, which is weird.
Yes, it is strange. And now we've won three in a row. We can't.
Yes, and they've been blowouts basically. I mean, Northern Colorado was an 11-point game, but that was some garbage time. Like CU had an 18-point lead with like 2 minutes left.
Yeah, and they were hitting everything. There's a guy on Northern Colorado's team.
Connect.
Yeah, Golden Connect. Team. They just hit everything. That dude had the game of his life.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. So did Tristan Da Silva, quite literally. 26 points, a career high, right after having a 25-point career high against North Alabama. Big game from him. But, you know, yeah, I don't know when's the last time we talked in full about this basketball team, but I got plenty of thoughts, and I'm happy to just talk about all of them with you.
I think you should go ahead, because you usually have more to say.
Okay.
And I'll comment where I want to.
Yeah, so after watching the UNC game, you know, some of it, I guess I'll start broad with the whole team. I think when this team decides that they want to defend, and I'm not saying everyone, I think some people defend all the time, but I think when this team wants to defend, they are really good at defending. I think right now, a lot of the team does not want to defend a lot of the time, which leads to issues like UNC pretty much being tied in the first half with CU for a large part of it on really easy defensive lapses that just didn't happen. I think almost everyone on the roster I trust defensively one-on-one. The two people I don't really are Ethan Wright and maybe Julian Hammond. Like, those are the two maybe guys.
Yeah, I can do that.
But almost everyone else, I'm saying that they should be able to at least fight to a draw with anyone that they're guarding on defense. At least now. Maybe not in conference play because there's some absolutely disgusting teams in the Pac-12 this year, but at least now. And it just doesn't happen, which is frustrating. I don't know what that is mentally. I'm sure Tab Boyle is way more frustrated than I am, but defensively, it's just, to me, it's not consistent effort wise. They're continuing to work on that. Offensively, I think this team can score really well and has a lot of ways to do it. I think the one guy that can't is Lawson Lovering, which we know about him and he knows about him. And that's going to continue to go. He still happens to have massive amounts of value to this team as one of the few people that defends 100% of the time, especially help side defense. But he's just not an offensive weapon. Everyone else can be. I continue to be upset that Nick Clifford is not who we want him to be. I continue to be upset that Ethan Wright cannot apparently shoot the ball, even though he is supposed to be a shooter. I'll stop talking about what I'm upset about. I love Javon Ruffin. I absolutely love Javon Ruffin. And I hope he gets more and more minutes as the season goes on. That dude is a willing shooter. He makes the game of offense look incredibly easy every time he's out there. And his finishes are incredible. I was not expecting that.
He's just a smart player all around.
Yes.
100%. Like, he's not going to be a defensive problem either, even being a freshman.
It looks like he's the son of an NBA scout, an NBA veteran, because he just knows where to go with the ball like 99% of the time. And it just makes it look so easy. And his shot is kind of flat, but it comes up so fast and it's like, it goes in. He's the best shooter on the team. So I want to see more of him. I will say my top positive thing from the stretch is I think we're finally seeing
Tristan
Da Silva figure out that, especially during in this part of the schedule, literally no one can stop him ever.
Yeah.
And he's just deciding to, like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna sun these guys for 40 minutes. Okay.
Yeah, no, he's finally, like, we've been seeing glimpses of it for the past couple of years, where he is so weird to stop. Like, he can shoot. We know that. He's tall and lanky. He can get off his shot whenever he wants.
Yeah.
And he has tremendous touch. And then if you can match up with him from a physicality perspective, he's so weird and so sneaky with just how he moves that he can just find little crevices. Like, there was one play against Northern Colorado where he split a double team with this weird little shuffle step or whatever. And he just, like, just apparated between the two into an easy layup. It's just whether or not he realizes how good he is. And that has been the struggle. And it looks like now he's averaging something almost 20 points per game in his last six games.
Yep.
I don't know if that's a product of playing against bad competition, but it's a great sign.
It is.
That he can just be like, okay, I'm the best player on the floor. I'm going to go get my buckets.
He's the best player on the floor on one side of the floor, for sure. And that's and he knows that. But it's been fun to see the offense clearly transition into a better spot for them, which is KJ feeding Tristan early and then KJ getting his later, which is awesome. Tristan knows he's hunting his shot early on because he needs to get engaged like that early on. So you're seeing CU run these plays where it's obviously meant to get Da Silva off a curl or get Da Silva in the post one-on-one. And like you mentioned, I just love watching him shoot the basketball, dude. It's so pretty. It doesn't matter these weird angles. The touch is there. It's like Jokic. It's not Jokic. He's not Jokic. But it's like that where it's just like these weird angles and he has a touch where it just floats up soft and comes down. Very few people have that. And
he had that one play against Northern Colorado, and it was a very simple play. He just caught it on the wing, pump fake. The guy bit on the pump fake, took one dribble in for the mid range, and it was clean. And it was so nice. I watched it a few times just because it's just perfect basketball.
Yeah.
It's so pretty. Prettiest sport.
He makes it look so nice all the time. I don't know. I love what I'm seeing from him. To the point where if he continues this like this in conference play, we may not have him next year. It might be one of those deals, which is upsetting, but it might not even be the NBA. He might just be like, I'm from Europe. They're offering me like $2 million a year to go play in Spain. I'm going to do it. Which sucks, but he looks so good out there. It's so fun to watch.
I don't think he's gonna leave early. I think if Oscar didn't leave early, he's not gonna leave early.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. He's just so fun on offense. And he's slowly getting better at the rebounding part, which is nice. So to your point, against Northern Colorado, he was 8 of 10 inside the arc, 2 or 5 outside the arc. Obviously, you'll take that every time. 8 of 10 is disgusting. And, these are not super easy shots. He took a weird fadeaway. He has this weird jump hook thing he does from, like, behind the backboard that works. I don't know. Gorgeous. And obviously, like I mentioned before, KJ's figuring out that he can get his whenever he wants. So once Da Silva's locked in, it makes his job so much easier. Because KJ's having the time of his life out there, too.
Yeah, and, I mean, we had that concern before the season. It's like, does KJ want to be the leading scorer or does he want to be the leader of the offense? And it looks more like leader of the offense seems to be more accurate, which I'm glad with. Are you obviously you are smitten with KJ.
Yes.
Do you think that we're kind of past the point where he's going to shoot us out of games, or do you think that we'll just take the good with the bad?
I mean, I think his shot looks good this year, and he's hitting it. I mean,
he still has had a couple like 4 of 16 performances where CU kind of just does well even with
he'll,
that.
He'll do that. Sure. Yeah. He'll keep doing that. But both of us talked before the year. Neither of us expected this to be a tournament team. What I wanted to see is these sophomores growing into upperclassmen. And I'm seeing some of that, frankly, ahead of schedule, some people behind schedule. I would consider KJ interest in both ahead of schedule, which is great. It's the two guys you want to be ahead of schedule.
Do we want to talk about the behind schedule guys? Because
yes.
I don't think Nate Clifford is going to be.
No, like, I don't it's think he's so... going to get on. It's infuriating. It is infuriating watching him sometimes.
I just think he's going to be that guy who.
I think you're totally right.
Live up to the potential.
I think you're totally right. And you know, he had a pretty okay game against Northern Colorado. You'll take 8-7 from a starter any point in time. But literally 3 days before that, he got blanked at North Alabama. North Alabama! And it's not like he got blanked because, you know, he didn't – like, they did a really good job on him. He got blanked because he took two threes and that's it. And then he misses one free throw. Like – dude, you're Nick Clifford. I look at you, and you're an NBA athlete. You yammed on CSU like it's nothing. Like it's nothing, because it was nothing.
He's the best athlete on the team, right?
I don't know about that.
AJ
Quincy
for his
Allen's
size.
Incredible.
Oh, okay. I wasn't thinking about Quincy Allen. Sorry. I was thinking of the guys for – okay, yeah. Quincy Allen is the most explosive. Okay, but Neek is a NBA quality athlete, 6'6", 6'7", and skilled. He is a good shooter.
Yes, I think so.
Like, he has a nice shot, and he like makes these good plays. He knows where to move the ball. It's just he's never gonna have the mentality to like be that scorer.
You can't be a starter at a Power 6 conference team and go and get blanked against North Alabama. You just can't. They're ranked 311 on KenPom. You can't do that. Like, I don't know, man. I it's all right there for him. It's all right there for him and has been, but it just he's not putting it together. It's frustrating.
Oh, we did bury the lead a little bit. Okay, do you want to keep talking about these players? Because I do have lovely things to say about Javon Hadley.
Well, hold on. I was going to get to him at the end, how much I love him so very much. But other players that have slightly disappointed me so far, once again, Ethan Wright, please, God, let me see some of that stroke,
okay,
man.
But that's about the development.
Yes. Well, Clifford, I think, is the biggest laggard right now. I honestly wanted to see more kind of pick and roll excellence from Julian Hammond this year. We saw it early, but he's regressed a little bit in this portion to the point where I want Ruffin to take a lot more than those minutes because I love what I'm seeing from Ruffin. I don't know, man. I think all along the wing, we're getting really inconsistent minutes, which is making it very concerned for conference play if CU can't get consistent performance from the wing, because there's a lot of dudes out there, but no one's taking control.
I just want someone to play defense and hit some threes,
right? Which should be Clifford. That like Clifford do that. And Clifford usually gives good effort on defense. It's usually not an issue for him, and his rebounding is still a plus, which is going to get him minutes. But I want more from Gabadon too. Like I don't know. Maybe this might be misplaced expectations. And Luke O'Brien was obviously hurt for the UNC game. But
Yeah, I was thinking about Luke. But is there a chance where Ruffin kind of takes that spot instead of being a lead guard? Like if he doesn't take Hammond's spots or minutes, he could take possibly some of Clifford's minutes and we play a little smaller.
They played Ruffin with two other guards against Northern Colorado when Northern Colorado went smaller. And it worked pretty well because everyone there – moved like it was great. And the offense worked. They also had to just take Lovering out of the game against UNC because he was too big. And say what you want about UNC, they have two guards that can absolutely penetrate against anyone in the country.
And Kuntz, one of them would be Daylon Kuntz, who we haven't talked about at all, but
had a rough game. I was expecting more from him, honestly. But
did
he's
you
still
see
really
the,
good.
He made that buzzer beater at the end of the first half and then immediately turned around talking shit for the CU bench. Good for
I
him.
I did see that. Good
you
for him.
That Daylon.
Yeah,
I'm so happy he's turned into a good player. Like I was hoping he'd drop off. He dropped 30 points on us, but
After the game, he and Tad had a really nice long hug, and obviously they both like each other. But that's one of those things when you're talking about transfers of it working out for both sides. Like Kuntz was just not going to play well in Tad's system, and they both knew it. So he went to a system that got better for him, and CU got to get guards that fit more. And yeah, poor Koontz. But Lovering just was not playing in the second half because they were abusing him on that pick and roll with those quick guards, which kudos to Tad. I did not think he was going to take Lovering out, because if Lovering is not a plus defensively, which is very rare, we will continue to stump for Lawson Lovering. His defensive athleticism is incredible. But we everyone now knows he is not contributing offensively. So if he's not doing anything beyond defense, you got to get him out of there.
Yeah, and it's frustrating too to see someone who's 7'1" catch the ball close to the rim and not have the strength to just go up for a layup.
Dude, I mean, yammed and got a tech on Washington, and then he did a weird spin move like layup that bricked against UNC. You know, he's a young offensive big who's still way too sped up on that side is what I keep seeing. And you're right. The second he feels more confident in his strength, I don't even know if he isn't strong enough. If he just feels more confident that he's strong enough, he's hopefully just going to start yamming on dudes still. I don't know.
We did bury the lead. I think that we can go on with this, that Tad Boyle has now tied the record, all-time wins record at CU.
Yes.
He is the greatest coach in CU history, and he will set that record, presumably, in our next game against Southern Utah, who, please God.
No presumably with this team, man.
Please don't lose
this. There's no game. Presumably with this team.
But, I mean, like, Tad should have set this record earlier in the season. We shouldn't be 7-5 or 8-5, 7-5.
7-5.
But I mean, the narrative does fit nicely that he did tie the record against Northern Colorado.
Yes. Because
he did kind of build that program from nothing.
Yes.
And I
they're doing pretty well.
I didn't realize how little Northern Colorado had as a program before he got there. Like, they were just transitioning from Division II when he took over.
Yep.
And then they made it to the NCAA tournament the year after he left.
He immediately got great guards and a Tad Boyle special.
Yeah.
But yes, 261 wins for Tad Boyle at Colorado. We all know he's the GOAT at CU. He continues to be the GOAT, and hopefully following the Southern Utah game, he will have the most wins in school history. I think – I don't know. So it's hard not to do this because of how much it was ballyhooed, especially by us on this podcast. But I'm wondering if you do this as well. I'm watching these games, and I'm thinking the whole time, you know, it would be really sweet is if CU had a wing that could attack consistently and handle the ball a little bit, especially on fast breaks. Or, you know, you'd be sweet as if CU had another big they could throw in there that's just a total fly swatter and just rim run, sprint down the court. That'd be nice. And then realizing, of course, that that exists in the recruiting class for next year. Are you doing that at all like I am or no?
Following the recruits?
No, just this year I should appreciate because it's a year that CU might be able to get to 20 wins again. I don't think they will, but they might be able to. However, I just can't help but think of next year when all these kids keep growing and you also add Cody Williams and Asani Diop to the mix and Courtney Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're trying to do with this, but I'm really just trying to appreciate this team as we are right now.
Very nice.
I feel like there's enough to follow and get excited about, particularly like the emergence of Tristan. I'm wondering can we make a run? Like, I know I don't think we're gonna make the NCAA tournament, but I would like to see this team set that goal for themselves and try to make that run. And like if they really do put together like a winning stretch where these guys are growing into these pretty big roles, that means more to me right now than looking forward to how that projects next season. You know?
Yep. That is the correct attitude, I think. I just can't help but do it, especially because I'm just a recruiting guy. I just like the drama of it, but I don't know. Every time I watch this game, I think that this team's biggest hole is the wing spot, and CU happens to have quite literally the best wing prospect in the country next year. And if you don't believe me, Eric Bosse recently just did an update after basically a Western high school all-star camp where Cody Williams was there as well as a bunch of scouts. And I was already very excited about Cody Williams, as everyone should be. Regardless of stars, he's a very good prospect who fits that system well. If you read Eric Bosse's update, which you should, you will be even more excited. All I'll say is Eric Bosse is campaigning for Cody Williams to be a top 10 player when it's all said and done. Damn. Not just a 5-star, not just a top 25 player, but a top 10 player in the country and the number one player in the West Coast. Dude.
Damn.
Dude. I'm telling you, I am telling you, it is hard not to get it just extremely excited. And everything he's saying is stuff that fits Tad's profile. He has a huge left hand in the lane, Tad Boyle. Super long and lanky at the wing spot, Tad Boyle. Plus rebounder right now, Tad Boyle. The one thing, his quote-unquote biggest weakness, according to Eric Bosse, is his shooting, which Tad Boyle, recruit. Can't shoot, classic. And then also his defensive effort, which we know if there's one thing that Tad Boyle will teach at Colorado, it is consistent defensive effort.
But
I don't know, man.
This. If you were a 5-star wing who is going D, like,
and I keep calling him a wing. I only say that because he's going to be guarding 2s through 4s. He will absolutely be a lead guard and will play. He and KJ will be the two main ball handlers next year. I'm pretty confident.
Yeah.
That.
Okay. Well, regardless. If you were the lead ball handler on your team, you were a 5-star, and you know that you are basically going to the NBA unless you kind of, you know, fuck up. Would you try that hard on defense?
I this is so foreign. I don't try that hard on defense now. I'm not anywhere near the NBA. So
no? I thought you were close.
I'm almost, but I think my defensive effort stopped me. No, I don't try hard on defense now, so I never would. Especially when you have his gifts, like I would 100% let people drive by me just so I can stuff it against the backboard and then start sprinting the other way, right? Like, why not, dude? You're 6'8" and got a 7'1" wingspan. Go for it. I don't know. Oh, I'm so.
I think I've
for
seen
him.
So many NBA talent types that. Like, they don't have to turn it on, so they just don't. And I know that that's bad habit, but I think that if he has the athleticism, if he has the, like, the length and the intelligence, which I think he has in every respect, I think he will turn it on when he needs to.
And the fact is, he went to this all-star recruit thing. I don't want to completely blow up Eric Bosse's article, but he was pretty much the leading scorer there, and he averaged, like, 25, 7, and 5, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's against all other, like, other 5-stars, other teams that were even more stacked than his team. Like, he initiated the offense every time. He is unique in his abilities. And every time I think about that when watching this year's team, I just can't imagine a better fit for next year. Screw all that. We forgot to talk about the one thing we all love, which is, goddamn, I love Javon Hadley. Oh, my God. Come on. What a find. 2 weeks before the recruiting period ends. Mike Rohn, of course. Duh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Mike Rohn just keeping his feelers out, being a good guy, continually keeping in contact with people, even if CU doesn't have the room. And then, you know, CU admissions rears its ugly head. Bobby Clinton goes to Wake Forest, who, by the way, as a freshman, is averaging 8-5. Seems to be a hit.
Oh, great. That's sweet.
But it doesn't matter because CU just goes, okay, well, we'll just grab – this guy from Indian Hills Community College, who happens to be exactly what this team needed and exactly what next year's team is going to need. He is the ultimate junk player, man.
I didn't know what we were supposed to get from him because it's not like I'm going to watch tape on Indian Hills Community College.
Right.
But I could not be happier with just his overall game. Like it doesn't really necessarily make sense. Like, why is a 6'5" guy, or I don't know how tall he is, but, like, why is he posting up on every possession? And it works. And he facilitates out of the post. He has that lefty baby hook that works way more than it should.
He loves that one. He shoots it before he even turns. It's like, he, like, shoots it blind. It's so weird.
He's just, if CU's in a rut offensively, they can just go to him and he can just go get something. And it's kind of weird. And I don't think we've had a player like that.
So I think the two things I love about him the most are, number one, how quick his second jump is on rebounds. Like, he is the first guy to his misses because he kind of knows where he's going to miss, and he's so quick to jump. Like, he's a really fast second jump, which I get is a meme in the NBA community because of Marvin Bagley, right? Isn't that why Marvin Bagley was drafted number two? Because of his second jump. But it's a real thing.
I bet on Marvin Bagley.
It's a real thing, though. It's like he is getting up faster than everyone else is for those boards, and that's getting him so many opportunities. And then number two is how thick and relentless he is all the time. That's just how he is. It's not like how he plays. That's just how the dude is. Like, you say you don't know how it works. I kind of get that too, but we both love Bonzi Colson at Notre Dame, and it's like the same weird thing of just like this guy just has a thick ass body, and he's just big enough where he's moving people out of the way, and he has a fast jump and long arms, and he's getting all these second chance shots that no one else cares about. It's like a free spin again on offense, and it's incredible every time. The best rebounder on the team, I think. Tad Boyle absolutely loves him. Probably a top three defender on the team, top two defender on the team, something like that. At least one on one.
I mean, oh, is this a possibility that Javon Hadley? I mean, it looks like he would be in the starting rotation with Cody Williams taking that spot, right? And Nate Clifford dropping.
Are you asking me to project next year's starting lineup?
Sort of, since I know you've thought about it.
I have. So I'm guessing it'll be KJ Simpson, obviously, at the one, Tristan Da Silva, obviously, at the four. Lawson Loving will continue to start at the five, which is a good thing, once again, in our minds. Cody Williams will be at the two and or three, and I think Javon Hadley will be at the two and or three, depending on what you want. Or, I mean, really what that looks like offensively is KJ Williams one, Cody Williams two, Tristan Da Silva three, Javon Hadley four, Lawson Loving five. And then defensively, that probably looks like KJ Simpson one, and then Cody Williams, Da Silva, Hadley two through four, Lovering five. Like it's interchangeable defensively, but yeah, and that starting lineup is an incredible mix of talent and work hardness and defense and offense and everything. But I just love Javon Hadley and his hair. Oh my God, his hair! And you know what is also great is he seems to be just an incredible teammate too. He just seems to be a great teammate. And Tag, people don't talk about this enough, how much he finds that in recruiting. Like, he just finds good ass teammates in recruiting. But I digress.
Do you have anything else to say? I think we've gone long enough to not do the Pac-12 preview. I think we can save that for closer, because CU starts against on December 30th against Stanford.
Yes, on the road. By the
Yeah, so
way,
we can probably
and
do
winless
that.
Cal, who will likely be winless then.
Oh, please. And hopefully after.
That would be the most CU loss of all time.
Especially to Cal, who we generally just suck against for no
Yep,
reason.
yep.
But Andre Kelly is gone. But I mean, I think that I'm done. That's what I'm trying
Okay.
to say.
All right, stay tuned Wednesday for signing day news on the football side. Also stay tuned Wednesday, Southern Utah comes to Boulder for the last non-con game of the year. Let's hope Tad Boyle gets the record and makes the teams 8-5. You know, 8-5 with a round KenPom of 50 before conference play
That's not
is
bad.
not bad. With five losses in this non-con, I was expecting a way worse KenPom, but you can make that work. Arizona State has come out of nowhere to be like really good. Like really good. Ranked good, by
It
the way.
turns out Marcus Bagley leaving the team was a good thing. I almost said that when you were celebrating that he was not going to play against CU because apparently he's a cancer.
I messed
Because
up. I messed
apparently the
up.
Bagley family is a bit weird.
Yeah, I messed up. And Boise State being a top 50 team is fun. Washington, I don't know. Anyways, yeah, Wednesday's a big day. Thanks for hopping on, Sam. Bye.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
Buzz. 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 Buzz.